gonna come around your way and do it our way.
Word is love.
Word up. Yeah, yeah, one time when you're wrong. That always make your ass swing. Holding down the fort while we keep shit tight. Hit you with that bang, shit that keep you live all night. Make it move strong while we keep rocking on. Now the object is survival, son, so get your hustle on. Bust tough shot while I blow up the spot. I'll make it hot till the jam is packed to the parking lot. Now, me and my man feel like we astronauts, cause we so high from all that we got from new life. Certified simulation got me open wide. Before we slide inside, we grab the sand out the ride. We on fire tonight. And the place is looking steamy, baby girl. Let me shoot that gift that make your cake creamy. Feel the heat circulating through your body. Every time the flip mode clicks, step inside the party where this bomb. Where the party is at, where I can tickle your nipples and your feminine back. I checked for you, baby, what you gonna do? There's a party at my crib designed just for me and you. Let me let my crew know we about to break out. Flip star, web to corner law and the voice out. My man Black missing, sun wildin' with the shorty flipping, stacking paper, sipping bubbles, good nigga living. But anyway, we about to break out in my land, pursuing our thoughts and executing all plans. The dope shit is that we both understand that it's a one night stand and you ain't even thinking about your man. Oh, we about to turn on the heat again. Don't you say a word until we finish partying.
Don't you know we're back
around my way, keeping it live. You know how we do each and every day. Rolling through thick with my girl Shanae with the exclusive debut. Hey, Mr. DJ, listen to me, baby. We put something together that's gonna drive you crazy. Get from out your seat and stop acting lazy. Or get up out my party if you act and stay there. Baby, baby, it's a party.
It's always a party right here on Studio W The Buzz. And now it's time for that show, the Soul Savage Show, with Q-Lin, E.B., and Whitney. Hey, gang.
Hello.
Right there.
All right.
My favorite song right there. Love that song. It's a party. That's a real cut right there. You had to be from the 90s. I used to watch that song on video so all the time. I mean, that video. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's one of them album cuts. If you didn't have the album, you didn't know it.
What? Right? And we celebrate birthdays of the group Janae they both have, or Renee's birthday just passed, and then Gene Baylor as well. Then we also celebrate Toni Braxton later in the show as well, given the birthday week. Look, he's already starting.
Come on.
Right, exactly. We got to introduce our guest, though. We got a special guest. So special. She's been on so many times. Y'all should be familiar if you listen to the show. Music industry vet. Amazing. Just knowledge of music is incredible. Y'all give it up right now for Miss TLC. How you doing tonight?
Hello. Good evening, everybody. I'm so happy to be back.
Hey.
You like that joint?
The happy
what you feel
day.
About that?
Oh, my God. I was dancing. I had such a party over here. Easy Moby produced, got that little common album. Love it. Love it.
Damn. Yes, we're going to get right into it. And I want to know, well, before we get into that, I had a whole topic I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to play a game with y'all later in the show, but we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to get to Savvy Update, and this we got a lot of emails from the last show you were on. And a lot of people were asking, what were you doing before you got into the music industry?
Well, honestly, I was one of the, I don't know if you'd call it lucky or unlucky people, but I went straight into the music industry, like, from college. I would say lucky because that's what my intention was. Like, I went to school for that. But with the way that the music industry just kind of evolved throughout that time from, like, the early 2000s to now, it's just been so tumultuous that I kind of look at it like, well, maybe it's unlucky because it's just been such, you know, a whirlwind of just label mergers and closures and, you know, so many problems with artists and the public, you know, interest and the perception of what labels are actually used for nowadays and if they're necessary for the future. And, you know, I agree with both sides of the argument. There's always a lot to discuss there. But, you know, unfortunately, it's just been a crazy time, like these past 20 years. You know, so I was lucky because I got straight into what I wanted to do. Like, that's all I've ever known is being in entertainment. But it's unlucky because the timing of it is just a little, you know, tumultuous. If you were in the music industry in the 60s, 70s, 80s, early 90s, I'm sure, you know, it was a little bit more exciting. It's just that coming in around the time of the rise of illegal downloads, like right at the cusp of like Napster and everything else. You know, it just was a rough time, you know, because everyone that I always knew was always worried, was always thinking like, oh, is there a future for us? Is there a place for labels anymore? You know, what's going to happen? And then they came up with, you know, 360 deals, and then people fought back against 360 deals and, you know, publicized the fact that labels are taking too much from artists. And then, you know, now with social media and people just being able to really promote and produce themselves, then everyone's like, well, we don't need labels at all. But, you know, I still do think there's a place for it. And, you know, now what we're going through with the evolution of all of entertainment, I think it'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think that there's always a positive to look at, to say that we're part of a dawn of something else and an evolution to something else. I'm just as interested as everybody else to see where it goes. You know, I know that you obviously have your, you know, footholds in live entertainment as well, and so does EV. So it's, you know, interesting for all of us in a different way to see where this goes. But, yeah, I mean, that's all I've ever done.
You actually fit perfectly in with the topic that I was wanting to talk about later in the show in terms of COVID and what it's going to look like post when concerts and live shows, like what's that going to look like, you know, after, or, you know, if it's going to still continue like 2-3 years from now, if we're still going to be in this, because we don't know. But it was a thank you to Howard, Lelia, Beverly, Gerald, and Susanna. They all asked those same questions, and I was like, let me just throw it at you. But yeah, they're real curious. A lot of our listeners are nosy. They get a lot in our personal business. I share too much information on this show. I need to edit all that out whenever I upload these upcoming past shows, I'm gonna edit all that out. But no, I'm not. I'm gonna leave it in there. I'm just
yeah. So one. So I was at NYU for music business and started by interning at Arista Records, which obviously doesn't exist at this time, and then started interning at MTV, and then worked at MTV, worked at Jive Records, and worked at Universal for the longest period of time. I was at Universal for almost 10 years, so I got to work with Universal Records, Motown Records, Republic, Def Jam, Island, so that was the longest stint, because at the time that I had gotten into MTV, they were going through their own evolution of trying to actually have a public offering and spin off the websites. They thought that, you know, at the time it was going to be like the next biggest way to make money to just have an IPO for your online properties, and that went awry, and then they had a whole restructuring. And then I went to Jive, and then Jive was bought up by Sony BMG. The remaining interest in that, Clive Calder at the time, then stepped away and got rid of, you know, his interest in the company. And then Universal went through their whole evolution, because when I started, I was just working for Universal Records, and then they merged with Motown, and then they brought on Republic, and then they merged with Island Def Jam, and so there was a lot of changes within that 10 years. But everything's even different now, so it's a game that we're all kind of just, you know, playing and following and seeing where it's going to go.
What you said, you were interning at MTV. I've had experience there, paid intern with was more so the radio business of Sirius Radio and Foxhole / Foxhole, and it was an interesting, like, seeing the process behind the scenes. What was it like for you in terms of, like, was it always a stepping stone, or was it like, oh, I got something? Because for me, it was just something for me to do. It just so happened I made a connection with somebody, and then they talked to we knew the same people, and then they were just like, hey, this happened. I had no intentions on doing it, but you said you always, when you got out of high school, that was your intention. But when you were interning, did you ever, like while you were doing it, were you like, oh, this is going to be something else? Like, were you, like, planning ahead when you were interning?
Well, it's interesting because when I was doing it, you know, it's an interesting conundrum for anybody nowadays that's looking to get into entertainment. Like, I try to school as many people as possible and just kind of break down the game, even though it is so different and it's changing at this point, literally on, like, a weekly basis at this point because of the pandemic. Like, prior, it was like, we're evolving so quickly because of technology, but now it's like, who even knows? So we're all just kind of riding the wave right now. But I've always tried to school people to say, you know, you have to go into this with a very thick skin and an open mind, and like you're saying, you know, look at things as a stepping stone and a learning experience, but also look for other avenues as well. When I got into MTV, you know, depending on how old you are and what your experience is when you're starting something, you know, when you're going into something as an intern and you're like 19 years old or whatever, you know, anything that you're involved in just seems like the coolest, best thing in the world. So I was, you know, getting to be in the studio and see TRL going down. And, you know, I was in the music programming department, like literally with the actual people that were, you know, screening the videos from the artists coming in to meet with us, giving us the backgrounds of every video. So I would see everything before it came out. Then I had to help, like, write the scripts for the VJs to debut stuff on TRL, and then, you know, you'd get all the promos before they came out, and, you know, I'd have to organize all the CDs and posters and all the swag and all that, and then I got to go to the meetings for, you know, the MTV VMAs, and there was, like, so many exciting, wonderful things going on. However, very recently, Gideon Yago, who I'm not sure if people know who that is, if you look him up, you'll probably recognize him by his face. He was very, you know, prevalent front and center with MTV News for a while, and then he went off into a diverse journalism career. But after the recent passing of Sumner Redstone, he had written a very long thread on Twitter that's definitely worth reading for anyone that's in entertainment or does freelance journalism or grew up, you know, living by MTV News. And he broke down, you know, the controversial other side of the game that he was like, you know, a lot of these companies, entertainment companies, really, you know, were eating off of just interns and freelancers. And it was just their way to get by and kind of like get, you know, the labor and the ideas and the creativity from all these young people, but then you never essentially graduate into the position that you should be in, you know, and getting like the proper bonuses and insurance and this and that. And he was like, you know, I know that nobody wants to address this in the wake of this man passing. Everybody wants to talk about how he's such a media giant. He's done these amazing things. He's like, but that should be addressed, that he was really one of the first people that capitalized off that and realized that you could just have this team of tons and tons of freelancers and interns. And, you know, he was saying that if you've ever worked at Viacom, you know, you could probably, you know, count off the top of your head, like, all your friends and colleagues and everybody that felt like they were taken advantage of in that way as well. You know, and unfortunately, you know, when you look back and you figure that out for yourself to say, like, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, they were, like, taking all the ideas and the creativity off, like, the younger staff, but yet you weren't the one that was really getting compensated properly. It's like, yeah, I mean, you know, he was like, oh, all the Viacom alum, like, weigh in, you know, agree with me here, or whatever, and obviously there was, you know, hundreds of people that were passing it around. So when you look back at it, you know, with fresh eyes, you are like, well, I don't know. I mean, you got to do all these amazing things. You learned so much, but it's like, truthfully, there is definitely a downside to a lot of the industry as well, because they do try to, you know, hold on to a lot of production assistants and freelancers and interns, like, as long as humanly possible, so that they don't legitimately have to, like, promote them and pay them a lot of money. I mean, I was lucky. I was converted from an intern to an employee, and then I was an employee there for years as well. But it's definitely something to pay attention to if and when anyone out there wants to get into the music biz or the production and entertainment side.
Man, it's such a crazy thing. And I shared on here before that when I got into it, was really, I had my eyes like wide open of like, it was literally somebody called me to do a session in the studio just to play some chords over. Of the producer wanted me to get with the songwriter, the vocal producer, and it was like, oh, okay, you do this. And I did that a few times, and then it was like, okay, now I'm getting my steps in to be a session musician in the studio, and then that started to phase out, and then it was like, oh, that was like around 2007, 2008, and then that's when it was like, oh, y'all don't really need session musicians anymore. Everything was like changing in terms of the sounds, and you know, it was more of like the production, like the Soulja Boy records. Like, people were trying to make records like that. I ain't gonna call no more names, but it was one artist in specific. They would want me to. I was like, I don't. It's like, if you didn't know like how to produce something, it was like you were basically like useless. Like, session musicians were like phasing out, and it was like a weird time. And it was like, I was looking at it like, wow, like, I don't even, at that point, it was like, I didn't even know, like, what I wanted to do. Like, if I wanted to do it, a tour musician or a backing musician, it was just like a matter of just taking any gig that somebody gave me. Yeah. So it wasn't, but I didn't really look at, I signed a contract with a parent label of that company, and it was, most of the publishing that I got from it, it was like, I had to fight back for it, like, a couple of years later, because I had no idea of, like, the songs that, because they would just give me, like, songs to play over, and you know, like, how producers do, like, if they don't like it, they'll scratch it, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's going on the album, they're going to make the album. There's about up to 10-plus songs that we did in the studio that was supposed to make the album, didn't make the album, and then a few songs that made the album, they took the pieces of the chords that I played over and mixed it, and so I can't really tell if it's my, you know, it took a few years to figure out, because I was like, they were saying I was on this record I had to get with, my friend actually were giving me these gigs that, you know, helped me out and get me these sessions, and I got with him, and then we got with some lawyers, and we was trying to figure it out. We finally got it together, though, it was just like a whole thing.
In the Gideon thread, like, he even got into details about, like, specific shows, saying that, you know, once MTV realized there was so much potential in, like, the world of reality TV, and that they started phasing out of videos and just, you know, putting on all this entertainment that was, you know, a lower production value per se. They were saving so much money, and of course, you know, reality participants aren't paid as much as, you know, the talent themselves, like if you're booking like legit shows. So he like actually, I think, used like tags of people that he had worked with or that he was aware of who specifically were like freelancers or consultants or interns at the time, young, who were the ones that were really giving these ideas to the higher ups. And he's like, you know, these people weren't properly compensated for it. You know, and you could have your own opinion about whether or not you even think that was the right decision for MTV to move in that direction, because I know there's people that are just, you know, bothered and angry by that as well, that it's like, why are you just putting on, like, you know, Jersey Shore and Teen Mom and Ridiculousness? But that was a whole new world for them, a whole new successful world. And here he is coming in saying, like, yeah, but a lot of this stuff was, like, pitched by interns and freelancers, and they're not necessarily compensated for building those brands, you know, in the right way. But people, I think, are, like, waking up to that more nowadays. Like, people are kind of fighting for their worth more than ever before, which is hopefully a good thing, and they will be compensated properly.
Yeah, I hope so. I think it's just like a – I think the climate we're in, and I think people's priorities are changing, specifically with some music veterans like Raphael Sadiq. I know he's been in talks with a few people trying to change in terms of – I wish they would get on the whole streaming thing, like in terms of the – just the unbalance of – or imbalance, I should say, of how they're doing the residuals, royalties of that. Because for me, I feel like – again, I would have to throw it to the record labels, because I'm like, y'all should have been on this, like, soon as, like, Pandora, not even Spotify, because Spotify came later, but Pandora was, like, the main one that got real big, real fast. They should have been on that, like, immediately, and I feel like they felt, some older ones, veterans in the music business, was like, nah, this is going to phase out, kids aren't going to, but that was the wave of it. People were still finding music online, like, you know, who the hottest artist is and creating their own, you know, whoever famous, whatever rapper, whatever singer, or whatever genre, they kids are finding it online, or whoever's finding it online now, like, that's the way they should have been on it. And I feel like, when are we going to, I want to get more involved in that, because it was something that happened a couple months ago with the whole, it was this blackout that were, it was a specific with, I forgot the name of the people that created it, but it was like some blackout that, like, everything on pause. And I felt like it was a great moment, but then it was like everything with the Black Lives Matter was happening and police brutality happened all at the same time. They had already scheduled it, but it like kind of tied in with that. And I was like, man, that should be a thing. Like, I feel like now is the time to like get all that stuff together. But I don't know, like, the steps. I'm trying to get with some people, try to figure that out, like, the steps, because it's like, I feel like all artists should be paid in terms of their worth, in terms of their streams. Like, if you got over 2-3 million streams on your Spotify, there's no reason why you counting $17 or whatever. You know what I mean? That's crazy. That's just a ridiculous number. You know, it should equal, the same with YouTube. I know YouTube is more flexible in terms of the residuals, in terms of the views and subscribers. It's a lot more generous than the rest of them, but still, I'm just saying, like, I feel like everybody else is, I don't know who, you know, from record labels need to do, but I don't know. You think they're going to ever do anything about that? Like, in terms of the fixing the pay?
It's interesting. That initiative that you were referencing, the show Must Be Paused, it was, you know, there were music executives who had really, like you said, it was about, you know, trying to fight for, you know, fight against inequality and fight for better representation for artists and for, they had said, like, you know, the gatekeepers of the culture, like, need to be, you know, compensated properly. And it's absolutely, you know, a problem that people are watching the news, you know, report that, you know, streaming sales are netting these streaming platforms billions of dollars, and that it's like such a big success. But then the artists are on the other side complaining that, you know, they get fractions of pennies per stream. So it really doesn't pay off for them till they get to the point of having like a billion streams of a song, which, you know, seems so far-fetched, which is why there are artists who release so much music or release, you know, albums with like 57 tracks on them that are like 45 seconds each, just trying to get people to like click through and then they can up their streaming presence, you know. So I do think that something needs to be done about increasing the compensation. You know, the other side of it is like when I was inside the labels, it was a big debate between people whether or not streaming would ever even take off, and most people
right.
felt like there was no chance. Most people felt like
yeah.
that sounds ridiculous. Nobody, especially the youth, is going to pay an ongoing subscription fee, you know, just forever, just to have access to just anything. But, of course, we all know that that shifted, and many people that were against it easily will fork over $10, $20, $30, depending on how many services they're a part of, depending on, you know, what level of account they want. And, you know, they started to shift and say, oh, well, this is actually a great thing, because if you look at it like you have access to playing absolutely anything whenever you feel like it, as much as you want, and you only have to pay the service fee, like, sure, I'm down. But the other side of that is like, well, if you think about that, you're paying $10 a month, but you literally have access to millions and millions of songs. It's like, well, if the company has to break that down, you know, and actually, you know, implement like a way to figure out like, oh, well, we give this to this label because these artists are under this label, and then they break it down royalty wise for whatever agreements they have in place for each artist. As they start passing it through, like, well, we need our money, and then the executives need their money, and then the artist needs their money. Like, it trickles down when you're splitting it up, you know, amongst all these artists that, unfortunately, a lot of these people do not get paid much, and that does have to change, because if you want people to just make revenue from that because people aren't even bothering to press a lot of physical products anymore, then, you know, artists need to survive and need to be compensated. If they're watching, you know, the streaming platforms and everybody brag about how they're making billions of dollars off this and that it's such a successful initiative. So now, unfortunately, the way that people are playing this game back and forth with each other with the leverage and the negotiation is that they're pulling a lot of stuff off of streaming, which I'm sure you've all seen. That, you know, you may have had an album that you love to listen to, and all of a sudden it's not there anymore. Or you're going through the track list, and all of a sudden it skips over a lot of the tracks. Like, they're playing these games like, well, now I'm not approving this license anymore. Now, you know, I'm pulling this because it's a sample dispute. Now we want this album off. Because a lot of these artists are saying, you know what, I don't want any of my albums on these platforms anymore. I'm about to set up my own, you know, model that I'm going to have you come on my website and pay just to listen to them that way. You know, and a lot of people that have those subscriptions locked in are saying, well, wait a second, if my artist at any time could disappear, my favorite artist could disappear from these platforms, then what am I paying for? Like, isn't it better for me to have the physical product and go back to the olden times of, like, you know, pre-2000s to say, like, maybe I should just have all the physical product in my house to listen to on my stereo. But unfortunately, there's a generation of people who just have, like, never done that. Like, they're like, I don't have a stereo. I don't have a CD player. You know, I don't want to invest in equipment. You know, I just need stuff on the go to listen to on my phone. So it's an interesting, you know, situation that everybody's in, because it's like, well, then what's the answer? Because I've always been a huge, you know, proponent of physical products. Like, I still own tons of physical products. I do believe in it, and I think that if you really love an artist or if you really love a particular project, like, you should want to own that. Because even if you listen to it streaming off your phone on the go, like, yeah, I mean, that could disappear at any time. The platform could change their pricing model. You might not want to pay it anymore. Like, you just never know. So it's like, you still want to have access to, you know, these legendary pieces of art. You know, but unfortunately, if you pay $10 a month and you get to listen to millions of songs, and then you say, oh, well, I don't want to do that anymore, but are you really going to go buy thousands of albums? Like, a lot of people are not. They don't have that kind of disposable income, you know, to have a full-on library anymore, you know, or they don't just have the space. Like, a lot of people you see, I mean, obviously through Discogs and everywhere else, it's like people are always offloading their collections, you know, because they just don't have the space in their house or their apartment, or they need the money. So it's tough to see where it's going to go, but I definitely feel that they're going to have to at some point increase the rates that they pay the artists.
Yeah, you hitting right on. Like, I agree with everything. I don't disagree with anything. So, but before we wrap up, Savvy Updates, y'all have any updates, anything, what'd y'all do this past week?
You know what
house.
I did.
I know, right?
I stayed in my house away from people.
Right? Being outside, and I told Whitney yesterday, we were on the phone, I was like, yo, I am so tired of watching, like, Netflix. I'm like, I'm bored, and then I'm also tired of, like, not having, like, I'm trying to be productive and do stuff that I said I've been putting off, like, making cover videos. Like, I'm starting to do that now so people can see it. People are asking me to put it on YouTube and Instagram and all that. I'm getting ready to edit all those and doing all that myself, but I'm so tired of doing everything, like, editing. I had a team staff of, like, plus 10, and now it's down to 4, and it's, like, the bulk of the work I have to do. Like, I'm so unappreciative for however many years I've been working with them, because this shit is hard. Like, editing stuff, like, if you get, like, that stuff is so complicated, and they do, like, it was nothing, you know, for me to have stuff edited and done, and it's, like, now it's, like, how to do stuff, dummies tutorials that I got to YouTube edit. I'm tired. My brain is just overload. Like, I didn't, like, this is like a second job trying to learn all this stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. when you spend so much time on the road and it's like gig after gig, it's like, you know, for sure 200 days out of the year, maybe got a couple of months of downtime. I try to stretch it out, but damn near every day I was traveling, doing gigs, and now it's like, yeah, I can do that for $250. Like, what? it's like hustling backwards now. Because I think every musician, I'm sure the ones that listen to the show, like, they're going through it right now. Shout out to all the musicians and songwriters, mm-hmm. anybody that's creative. Like, we're going through it, because it's like, you're trying to find creativity in this, and it's not possible, because the way we create is through connection with people, and it's like, we can't do that now, so it's like a weird space to be in, trying to find other ways to connect with people via music and give a live experience. But that's what I'm trying to work on, is that. And I was going to ask y'all, because I was going to put it out there, and to the listeners as well, if y'all want to email me at qlgreen@soulsavage.com, and I'm doing cover videos, and I'm starting out with, like, songs that, because I'm playing some on the bass and I'm playing some on the drums. It depends. I might do a few on the piano, but I'm just not sure. But I wanted to know, like, is there, like, any, like, what's the go-to when you be watching people's, like, if y'all watch musicians play? Like, do y'all look for more of the new stuff or them getting, like, old stuff?
I look for a mix.
Yeah, I like a nice mix.
Okay.
I would say, because that's the best way to gain an audience, because you're reaching multiple generations as opposed to somebody who is only doing, you know, everything that came out within the last 5 years, or they're only doing old school stuff, like, from the past 40 or 50 years. So that it's like that sweet spot when you're mixing and you're able to reach different generations at the same time. That's what I look for.
I'm trying to mix it up with go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying that I agree. It's funny, because the other day, I generally, when I would get in, like, the car, I would always listen to either, you mentioned before, Sirius. I would either listen to, like, Satellite to have more of a specific breakdown of, like, what I want to listen to genre-wise, or I listen to my personal mixes or, you know, one of the streaming services. But I happened to, like, hop in the car, and it was, like, I pressed FM by accident. Like, I usually don't listen to regular, like, terrestrial radio anymore, because from what I understood, it was like, you know, it got to the point where it's like the same 10 songs, like, over and over again. And I happened to have on, like, one of the local stations in New York, and I was shocked because they had on Bobby Valentino's Slow Down, which is a jam still to this day, of course. Mm-hmm. And I was all excited because I was like, oh, I didn't know the radio, like, still played this, because I felt like they only listened to, like, the newest stuff that's popping on TikTok. But then they went into, like, you know, a couple of the current songs, And then they went back to, like, Biggie or whatever, and I was like, oh, okay. Like, this is what people want. Like, you want a mix. It's like, sure, expose people to the newer stuff, but, like, still throw back to the older stuff as well.
Definitely.
You know, it can't just be one thing.
I need to do that. I was actually learning one song. What was it on? I think it was on Sunday or Monday once. I was practicing on my drum kit. I was going to do Megan Thee Stallion's Cash Shit. I was like, yo, this kind of got a lot of room for some fills I can do on the drums. I was like, I kind of like this beat. But, yeah, I'm trying to explore, because I'd be going from that to the whispers, and it's like I'm trying to find the audience.
No,
I feel like my audience likes both. Especially the, I think my main demographic on this show is black women and white men, specifically from the UK. They love, I get a lot of responses from, men from the UK, London specifically, and, just black women. They'd be like, yes, girl, and they'd be like, you know, I'd be like, are y'all with me? And then I get the aunties as well. So it's like multiple demographics in it, but I'd be like trying to get both of them, but I'm gonna try to see if I can do both of those things, but
it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, white men from the UK, it's like they're very much into the soul movement with, like, you know, EZ and I've seen, like, Tom Misch, I know, like, you know, James Blake, that whole movement, they're the people obviously listening to you on this show right now.
Yeah,
may
they
actually
they
be get, Tom and James listening.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, the audience for Megan Thee Stallion plus the Whispers is right here. That's EB.
That's right. Because what you're doing is also not even like you're not just reaching, you know, different generations in a way like, oh, you're playing something they'll like. You're exposing them to something that they might like, which is a lot of the time what I miss out on because we're, you know, we talk about all the time. We're curating our own musical experience with what we like, and then we miss out on newer things that we might like. Or for somebody younger, if they're only listening to what's hot and what's out now, you play something else, they might be like, oh, I like this. Let me let me go back and figure out who this is. Like, see what they're about and then connect some dots that way. So the mix, to me, is the best way to go because it's just that sweet spot.
Plus, people still have a lot of time on their hands right now because even though things are open.
That's why I'm trying to hurry up and drop them
because
I'm like, I don't want people to go back. I'm like, it's the perfect time to drop all these now while I've got people's attention. But,
Yeah.
Shout out to all the Soul Savage Radio listeners. Y'all show a lot of love. Y'all send a lot of questions in. Y'all love the show with Helen. Listen, EB, man. TV on one. I like the show with Brandenburg. I'm getting ready to post all these songs. It's a work in progress, okay? I'm only one woman. I can only sometimes. But that show is insane. It's definitely going up
hilarious.
On our website. I'm about to drop all these all at one time. Y'all hit me up now telling me, shout out to Helen. I'm about to post all this. She said she's like, make sure you, she said she's enjoying the comp. Wait, let me read. I'm going to read her messages. She's saying that the guest was that we have Miss TLC is so good. Have her back, please. A lot of wisdom she's sharing. So,
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And
I love being with this crew. That night, that show, I keep telling you guys, like, was just so funny. I really needed
it
that night.
It was ridiculous. And he'd be throwing lob stuff, and I'd be like, all right, let me dunk it. I was like, it's up there. Let me just do it real quick. It's all him. I can't take credit for none of it.
Sometimes. Genius. Not all the time.
It's incredible. But, yeah, we get ready to drop all them. So y'all better be on the lookout. I know y'all be hitting me up about it. I'm ready to post them just like y'all. Listen, I'm one person. Okay? I don't have a team no more. So I'm trying to get it all out there. But it's going to happen. You're going to get it done. Helen said, tell EB, please don't start, and have a good day.
And have a good day. All right, you know
have
what,
a good
I,
day.
Helen, thank you so much. I'm going to be cool tonight because we are celebrating the birthday of Toni Braxton.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm
going to act like I got some sense.
For
I'm just going to act like I got some sense.
I
no,
know.
You didn't. You just dropped it within 10 seconds. You just did it right there.
Don't even.
He tried to drop it in there like I don't know what he's doing.
Oh,
like,
man.
You know what you're doing, sir.
No, not at all. Helen, thank you for always listening. And Helen, really, thank you for always coming and vibing with us. It's always a great show when you're on. I'm always so happy to have you. Just like I'm so happy to have Miss TLC on. Like, I can guarantee that we're going to have a good show whenever one of you two are here.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So fun.
And before we go to break, I'm going to tell the audience that we're getting ready to play a game later in the show called Musical Dots. Literally just made this up yesterday. Randomly, it popped in my head. I'd be like, oh, I need to. As soon as I thought of it, I was like, let me get the details together so I could send to them and figure it out. Once I figured it out in my head, I was like, all right, cool, boom. Here we go. Okay, musical dot is basically like a 60 degrees of separation. I saw somebody do this with actors, but I was like, I think this would be cool to do it with artists. And basically, the rules of the game, I mean, just to explain the game, is we gotta pick teams. I guess we can pick teams. Y'all wanna pick teams before we go to break, or y'all want to go after break to pick teams? Cause we're gonna go 2-2 versus. We're gonna have our own versus.
I'm good with whatever.
Okay. We go randomly. We'll pick it when we come back from break. But basically, we gotta pick two artists from two different genres. They have to be from two different genres. They can't be R&B. It's going to be random. Just whatever. I got my list. I got a couple. We're going to go two rounds. Both teams are going to pick the opposing team's artist. And it doesn't really, it's not really a time frame on it. It's just whoever answers in the shortest time period, that's who's going to win. So if one person gets it and the other team member doesn't, it's just a matter of who has the top best. That's who wins. And that team wins overall, whoever wins on that side. So if your teammate is lacking, it don't matter. As long as one person on the team pulls through, that's what matters. And so are y'all clear on, do y'all got y'all list? Because we'll get into it a little bit before we get. Y'all want to do it before? Y'all want to play the game when we come back from break, or y'all want to get into the topic for the night?
Can I judge so you don't cheat?
No, there ain't no judging. The time limit is judging. It ain't a judging game.
Yeah, okay.
How quick you could produce the 6 degrees of separation for the two artists.
Right.
It does it the quickest.
Okay. I guess we could do the. I'm debating now if I want to do the topic. I guess we could do the topic and then we do the game so we can. Cause y'all sound like, I don't know if y'all prepared yet. Is y'all prepared with cause we gonna do the opposite. Like, one team member is gonna pick one, and then one team member is gonna do that after we do round two. That's how it's gonna go.
Wait, but how many are we supposed to have? Maybe I should be clear on that first.
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Cause every team member has to go, so.
Got it.
Okay, I have two artists that would be interesting.
Yeah, okay.
To connect them.
All right, well, we're going to go to break real quick, and we're going to play the game when we come back. We're celebrating the birthday of Johnny. We'll be back in
the light is when you feel the vibe, and your mind is open wide. It's the only time you will ever see the light is when you feel the vibe, and your mind is open. Listen to you know.
listen up, listen up, listen up. Listen to the vibe, it's so alive. Listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up. Listen to the vibe, it's so alive. Listen to that vibe.
Yes, and welcome back to Soul Savvy Show. Here, right here on Studio W The Buzz. And back to Q Lynn, E.B. Whitney. And back by popular demand, fabulous Miss TLC.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's the jam.
Listen up, listen up, listen up, listen up.
Hey, my joy. I had to, something just, they had the smoothest jams of all time from the 90s. Like, when I think back to the 90s, like, I have to, Jhené is my favorite, like, R&B group. Like, top five. Like, even, like, I'm just gonna narrow it down. They're my favorite group from the 90s, period. Like, even though they don't have the longest discography, and most R&B groups don't. Okay, let's keep it 100. But, listen, their first two albums is solid, okay? All the way through. Like, it's so, like, when you talk about the consistency of a debut album from a group, like, they're, like, next to Jodeci's Diary of a Bad Band, like, in mint conditions, debut album, like, those three right there, those are the solid, the best albums from the 90s in terms of R&B groups. Jhené, just perfect. Shout out to Renee and Gene Baylor. Hopefully, I'm going to send it to Renee people. I'm going to send the show to them. Hopefully, she sees it and know the love is there, the appreciation is there. Great songwriter slash producer. And fun fact. I love doing fun facts on this show. If y'all listen in, y'all hear the sample from Jordan Benson's Love Times Love, that little guitar loop, this little guitar loop in there, that's where that's from.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all want to look it up from the Give Me the Night album. So that actually turned 40, George Benson's. I'll shout out to George Benson as well. That album turned 40. We celebrated that album last month, though. But, yeah, Jhené, perfect. Just great jams. But, yeah, we get to this game, though, the musical doc day. I've been looking forward to it all day. And so we're going to pick teams. And so I'm just going, let's see. I got names jumbled up. I'm about to get, y'all talk real quick. Miss TLC, if you could. It's people asking, they had so many nosy questions. They said, have you been, somebody just, hold on, let me pull it back up on Instagram. They're so nosy. They like, have you been out? They want to know if you've been vacationing during COVID. Nosy.
Lord, no. For people that know me in real life, oh,
I'm
my
laughing.
Goodness, like, EB knows I am, like, neuroses 5,000 and
million, yeah.
5,010.
Yeah.
Like, I am one of the apparently few people who believes that you should just follow the rules. And I have just been staying low, and I've only been around my family. I actually really do miss all of my even closest friends, but I've just, you know, kept it as quiet as possible. And I have actually gotten into, like, a comfort zone with it now that I feel like I'm totally fine with just, you know, hunkering down through the winter. And I keep telling everybody, you know, we'll be back and positive and happy and socializing in spring, you know, as long as we get through this,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, I have not, and I do not understand personally the people that are just living it up and whooping it up. I mean, everybody that headed to Cancun recently and, you know, tried to take advantage of deals, now they're stuck there with the hurricane. It's like nothing stops. Like, everything's just crazy. It's like hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, fires, like, just stay in your house. Do as much as you can on Zoom and FaceTime and, you know, see your family if you need to, but yeah, I have not been vacationing, unfortunately. I have not been anywhere fun like that in over a year now.
I would like your vacation picture, though. I've been liking people's. I'm like, I'll be regretting it, though. I'll take it back. It was one like, I was like, no, you're too close to people. I was like, I'll take the light back on Instagram.
We've all become detectives now.
No,
like, zooming in on pictures like, wait, are they holding a mask anywhere? Is there a mask in their pocket? Like, everybody's now become investigative reporters. Like, I don't think I saw any mask, like, even with the people that were walking
right
behind them in the picture. Mm-hmm. Like, crazy.
Exactly. But what I'm going to do, I got all our names. I wrote a note and put our names in it, and I'm just going to randomly select. So here I am. I'm about to just randomly pick. I closed my eyes, too. I'm just randomly grabbing them. So I wish we did this show live on Facebook or Instagram. We get into that. That's another thing we're doing on Soul Savage. So show our faces over here. People be want to see what we doing. They want to see what kind of food I'm eating. They say I need to do my own segment on my food segment. I'm like, look, man, this is my eating time, okay? I'm old. I got to have a set time every day.
I'm
going
to have to buy some masks.
that's all the rage now. I mean, that's the right thing
right
to do. So you could have a mask on live,
yeah,
and then you're good.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a lot of masks.
Jesus Christ. You don't want to show. We're going to have EV Zoom camera off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, that's a real thing.
If you
want to
act like that, I was like, we just turn it off, and then you'd be like the boogeyman of Soul Savage Radio or something.
I am the boogeyman.
Or when you're on FaceTime, you could actually cover yourself with, like, a cartoon version of yourself. Like, you could do that.
Oh, yeah, like just put a bear or something up there. Just a bear face.
Ridiculous. I'm about to pick
maybe, yeah.
Go ahead with your joke. I didn't mean to cut it off.
Nope, because it was about to be inappropriate, and I'm glad you cut me off because I needed to be cut off in that moment.
Yes, we got guests on. We got to act right. Even though y'all friends.
I'm just trying to go to heaven. I've used a lot of my get-out-of-jail-free cards in the past month, so I'm trying to act right.
Wow. The month has started, EB.
I know, and we still got to play the Tony Braxton, so I know I got some more to use. So I got to.
I know, right? We ain't even got to that point yet in the show.
Oh,
but
God.
Here we go. Musical Dodge Game. We about to pick teams right now. I got the first one. Hold on. Let me just close my eyes. Okay. I got one in front of me. Who is it? Okay. EB. Okay. We got one. We picking this like this a pickup game.
Yeah. It's just, the only difference is the first time I got picked first. Like, I'm just like, wow.
Right, exactly. Okay, I'll pick another one. And Whitney.
Okay, Whitney. All right, boo.
Now,
all right.
you know I'm not going to be good at this game, so I just want to put that out there right now.
Listen,
so that
I told you, don't sell yourself short. You never
I don't know.
Listen, it can, just to explain the rules again, it however long it takes you to connect the artist, like if it takes you 4 or 5 times to connect them with somebody, it's perfectly fine. It can be through samples. It can be through production, songwriting, features. Like, yeah, just somebody that's just randomly on the track. They could just be saying, ooh, yeah, or something like how Devontae was in Jealousy. Like, he was in Nokia phone from Drew Hill. They can be singing in the background like how they did. You know, it could, you know, somebody in
y'all not going to disrespect Nokia. Angie Martinez, Baby Daddy. And I really loved Drew Hill when I was in high school, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean,
I was just like, I love Drew Hill.
It was the chubby one. Yo, he was light on his feet when the test me.
He was.
He
gave a young chubby EB inspiration, and he gave me hope that one day I might be able to leave the ground as well. Like, I could put on some silk pajamas, and I could leap
and
this
bounce.
As he leaped, and just bounce. Yeah, just go with it. So I think, was he Jazz or Woody? I always get them confused.
I think that's Jazz.
His name was Jazz.
Jazz, yeah. So thank you, Jazz. If you're listening, thank you, because you give the big boys so much hope and so much inspiration, and I hope you know that you are appreciated, like Tupac told his mama.
You are appreciated. Absolutely.
That's right.
That's so funny. Oh, my God. All
right. Wow, me being a fat boy. It's funny to chew in, y'all. Everybody.
No, it wasn't. All right. Now, gone too far. I was just thinking. You're not even fat, first off.
Hey,
I don't know why you're saying that.
I'm thicker than a Snicker.
Listen, you don't have to take a time out whenever you go down the stairs. So, I mean, you don't breathe.
Look, I don't know, Q-Lane. Look, sometimes.
I told you the requirements of a heavy set person. You don't sleep with the fan on.
I have to take a... Oh, I do, though.
You do? You sleep with the fan on? You
gotta,
you take, ugh, when you get up, like it's a noise, it's a grunt noise.
I do, wait, I don't do that. When I'm sitting down, I do it. I say ooey when I'm sitting down. I say, oi.
Ooey.
Yeah, like, because my uncle used to say that growing up, so I just thought that's what old men were supposed to say. But now that I'm older, I'm always saying, oi.
Oi. I know, getting older. I don't know what it is, because my speaking of relatives, my grandfather, God rest his soul, he used to, when he would sneeze, he would cuss, like, right afterwards.
Oh, my God, I might be your grandfather.
Wait. And I'd be damned if I don't do that now, because I sneezed so hard, I thought I hurt my ribs or something. I was like, whoo. I sneezed. I sneezed, because my allergies active, because the season changed. And whenever it gets when I get a little chill, a little cold, when I get a little goosebumps, I start sneezing. Like, my allergies are real bad. And I get up on the vitamin C, and I'll get my vitamins together. But when that sneeze happened, I was like, man, I started cussing. I was like, man, who am I right now?
Yeah, you just become your elders. Like, even with my mom, it's like I get on her all the time, so I'm like, you don't even realize you're doing it. You make all these different sound effects when you're walking around, getting up from the chair, sitting down from the chair. I'm like, nobody wants to hear your soundtrack. Like, keep it to yourself. She's like, I don't even know why I'm doing it. It's like, oh, okay.
You don't know why.
Here we go. All right. Here we go. I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you want a reaction? Why are you giving everybody a soundtrack and a play-by-play? You're just walking down the hall. Stop.
That's me all day. I swear to God, I drop my receipt. And something else I dropped, and I was like, it's going to be there, because I didn't feel like bending down. It's a chore now for me to bend down. I'm like, it's not supposed to be like this. I remember I could, like, bend down. It was like, I'm not doing it. Tie my shoes, too? Oh, my God. I'd be wanting to take my shoes off and throw them across
Girl.
The street, but my shoes untied. I hate it.
Once you start taking advantage of, like, kids around you, like, you know what, pick that up for me, bring it over here. Like, I'm just done
right.
for the day. Like, I've already picked up 50 million things. It's like, you know what, you get that. Bring it over to me. It's like, oh, God.
If you get them at the right age where they think it's, like, a game, they'd be like, I'm
yeah.
here for you. Like, sometimes they so good. I'm like, man, you good. You anticipate my needs. That's how you get a good wait staff, okay? You're going to be a great waitress when you get 14 or 15. Man, we need to get to this game. Okay, so EB and Whitney are team on their
mm-hmm.
team. So it's me and
Team Opulence. That's our name, Team Opulence.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Oh, he's trying to butter you up. Why don't you butter us up and try to give us some easy ones?
I mean, so wait. So,
don't throw us no hardballs.
Just so I'm sure, so I give y'all one and then Whitney gives y'all one?
Mm-hmm. That's how I took it, too, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure. All right, yeah. All right, I'm
okay.
good then.
Okay, since y'all two, I picked Evie first, so he gets to select the first artist, and then the second round, Whitney goes first, and then I guess since, Ms. TLC, do you want to pick first, or you want me to go?
I have a pair of artists already ready to go. I'll do a first.
So first round, we got Evie and TLC, and then the second round is Whitney and me. Q-Lynn.
Okay.
Started off, I should have got some theme music or something. I don't know what kind of theme music. We need to get some, get some Megan Thee Stallion or something, the hype or something. I don't know.
I think Evie
little.
Should record like a theme song for this if it becomes an ongoing game in the future.
Right? Yeah. Hold on, let me get my voice right. I mean, I gotta. All right, so. Hey. All right, so the first two artists that I have, and I hope I did this right because I was just kind of picking some of my favorite people, and I don't want nobody to judge me for who my favorite people are. But the first two artists are Rod Stewart and Twinkie Clark.
Ooh.
Mmm. So now me and Q-Lynn have to think about how to connect those two artists. I don't know if we've ever discussed your love for Rod Stewart. That's an interesting one.
No, we have not. We have not.
I will, before we actually jump into this, just add a little funny story that one of my best friends, she does not have a good singing voice at all and is aware of that. And she has kind of a gravelly low voice. And when we were about 13, 14 years old in your formative years, that, you know, you want your confidence boosts from your relatives and stuff, one of her uncles told her that she sounds like Rod Stewart when she tries to sing, and she just never wanted to sing. That, like, singing along in the car, and he was like, "You sound like Rod Stewart." Imagine, like, a 13-year-old girl being told, like, "You kind of sound
real.
Like Rod Stewart."
That's real. No, but that's real. I think when we were kids, you know, the way when if you're a child or if you have children who are singers for our listeners. Don't tell them that they sound like anybody and don't laugh at them, because I remember vividly singing a Monica song from Miss Thang when I was a wee lad. And I remember my mom just like laughing while driving and almost just crashing because I was singing like Monica. And Q-Lynn knows how Monica sings, but it's like, so for a long time I didn't like Monica after the first album. I was just like, no
that
Monica.
Old like, at 12.
Yeah, it was like that. So I can only imagine for a teen girl being told that she sounds like Rod Stewart, I would probably never sing again. So
that's pretty much how she felt.
Still
to this day, we'll like laugh if like a Rod Stewart song comes on and we're together. I was like, it's you, sing it.
Oh my god!
This is the first time I've heard you share this story. You need to tell me. You need to back your mother's
card. Wait, Q-Lynn, it was so painful to me for so long because I remember we were on Robert Street in Lexington, South Carolina, and I was singing the Monica, and I'm in the front seat, and I have two sisters in the back, and my mom started laughing and almost ran off of the road and was like, "Why are you singing like that?" And I was just like, "Well, that's how Monica sings." So it for a long time after that, that's why, like, when people ask me about Monica.
Was it like this? Like,
no, it wasn't.
I would definitely start busting a gun if
you did. No, it was either Before You Walk Out of My Life or Why I Love You So Much. I can't remember which one, but it was whatever was on the radio. It was one of those. Yeah, that was the one. That was the one. The one with the baby. So I was singing that, and when people ask me now, they're like, "Oh, you like Monica?" I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Well, what do you think about, like, you know, the second album?" I'm like, "Oh, I stopped listening after the first album because I was traumatized. Like, I really thought that I didn't want to hear her voice anymore, because my mom laughed like it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard in her life. And I just remember holding on to the door. That's when cars used to have the handle above the door so you could hold on. I remember trying to reach up because we swerved and I was too short to reach it. So I just remember like swerving a little bit. And it brings that bad memory. So it took me a long time to even go back and listen to the first album.
That is amazing.
No, I love you for that, baby.
That's what it is, though. Like, as a kid, it's like your first experiences with music are literally just trying to mimic it. Like, that's what you do. You hear it. So it's true that if you're a kid and you're doing the exact, like, mannerisms and riffs of somebody, it's like, "I love you, boy, baby." And they're
that
like,
exactly
what?
That was exactly what I did. I guess I really thought that was how you were supposed to sing, because the people that I like, they all sang very forcefully. Mm. But Monica put a little ATL spin on it. Was like, "Bray, bray," and I never heard that before. And I'm like, "Oh, maybe that's what. Maybe I've been saying baby wrong all my life. Like, I didn't know."
Oh my gosh.
I've been telling y'all since that Versus, when Brandy said, "You know, your voice has always been." It was always a pick me out. When she said, "Your voice always been deep," I was like, "Oh, I could never." Every time I was listening to Miss
just
Day,
like
I told,
my friend with the Rod Stewart voice from when she was young.
Every time I listen to Like This and Like That, I had to pull over because I was crying, laughing so hard. I can't, because I just think Brandy, that was a legendary night, and it was legendary because Brandy, I don't know if that was, I feel like it was unintentional shade, but it was just, but Brandy is in the Hall of Fame for that. Like, that, that, I don't know if it was a joke, or she, what she said.
I think 2 minutes to be a compliment, but if you listen to Monica, you know that it's true. Like, she's always been, you know, that type of a singer.
40.
So,
she's only 40 years old.
She came out 40. She came out at 40. Like, she just came out, and when she sang, that's what it was. So,
her vocals,
you know,
had a Newport and was like, let's play the track.
So now she's Dionne Warwick. We cannot do this.
That was her vocal cords going into the track. All right, what's the next track? baby, let's straighten it out. Play a track. That was her.
So Rod Stewart.
Rod Stewart, let's get to it.
I will admit, I really am not that familiar with Rod Stewart's catalog, but now I gotta think. I don't know if you're a bigger Rod Stewart fan, Kulin, if you know a lot of
I like a few songs. I'm trying to think of the features. I'm trying to think of production and songwriting. It's not coming to me fast enough. Okay, we about to start the time. Okay, here's the game. The musical dots game starts now. So we go do a time clock. And so, Ms. TLC, you're first. So I started the clock. So here we go.
We have to think how to connect Rod Stewart to Twinkie Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think back to his even performance history, if he's ever even done any type of large performances where I can recall any type of choir or gospel presence. Let's see. I know he did his little throwback Motown situation at one point. I do feel like if this works as a connection, I do feel like at some point he performed, like, I don't know if it was through one of his cover compilation situations, but he did perform Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Amazing Grace has been performed by, of course, every gospel artist in the world. So if that is true, that he did release Amazing Grace, obviously the Clark Sisters have done Amazing Grace as well. That could connect them. I'm sure there are much more interesting connections with samples, production, like you said. I mean, background vocals, things like that. But I don't know as much about his discography to think about it deeper than that. Do you know of anything? Are we supposed to work together with it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to think. Jesus Christ. Okay. I feel like I got a connection. I feel like it's there. I'm trying to think of the song. Okay. Rod Stewart did a cover song of, I think if it's this artist, then I think I can connect it to Twinkie real easy. I feel like it's going to be a one-hitter quitter if I can get it. But I'm trying to think of the song, and it's not coming to me. And the artist that I'm thinking of to connect it is Stevie Wonder. I can't think of the song. Rod Stewart did a Stevie Wonder cover, but I can't think of the name of the song. Oh, my God. I don't know if it was Superstitious. Or, no, because he would say Nappy Headed Girl.
Unless it was Imus. Imus. I'm thinking about Imus.
I don't think it was Imus. That. I don't know why Superstition is coming up. It was a song. It was a ballad. And I can't think of the name of it. Oh, my God. It's a Stevie Wonder song. I know he did.
Oh, you know what? Well, you know what? He probably did do a cover of it at some point. But like I said, what I do know of Rod Stewart, unfortunately,
sorry to Rod Stewart if he's listening. I'm trying to go back and listen. I know he's had some, you know, amazing songs. I know, like, Maggie May. But I do know, oh, and, like, If You Think I'm Sexy, like, that song I know. But I know him more from, like, the, you know, second or third wave of his career where it was more about covers and compilations and all that kind of stuff. So I do know that he did like a songbook kind of album throwback situation, because at the time that was like around the 2000s. I was annoyed because I'm a huge Frank Sinatra fan, and obviously Frank Sinatra did all that stuff with the duets, and I was like, here he comes, and he had a song with Stevie Wonder on his songbook. So there you go. I mean, he may have done covers of Stevie, but he was with Stevie doing What a Wonderful World.
Exactly. Okay. I think, she pretty much got it. I was just going to tell how my thing was, you know, everything I do is always involving Mary. So it was like Rod Stewart and Mary worked together, and they did a cover of a stylistic, She Make Me Feel Brand New.
Mm. And Mary
sampled Stevie Wonder's Pastime Paradise for Time.
Mm.
And Stevie and Twinkie, obviously, Twinkie used Stevie's Master Blaster to make You Make the Sunshine.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a
y'all
balance.
Was on it, though. Both of y'all were, like, y'all were on it. Y'all just didn't put Mary in there, which I'm a little offended, but I appreciate. But y'all were on it, though.
I love that to Rod.
Y'all were on it.
Listen, this is so random. I'm trying to think of the 7.5 songs of Rod Stewart that I have in my playlist. It's like,
yeah, I don't know why I like him so much. I think my mom liked him, so I like him.
Yeah, I remember my mom always telling me my godmother loved him a lot. Like,
yeah,
you know, when they were
like
coming up in the 70s.
I'm just like, oh, okay, I like Rod Stewart, and I listen to his stuff. So yeah,
but like I said, Maggie May and If You Think I'm Sexy, those I know well. Those are great songs. But yeah,
right,
I do have to dive more into this stuff. I just remember that he came out with his songbook situation in the 2000s, and I was like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, here we go. Now we got everybody trying to be like Frank Sinatra with the duets album.
With the duets. You come with the duets now.
Mm-hmm.
Frank did it first.
Yeah, so him and Stevie did the What a Wonderful World, so that links into Stevie, and then Stevie obviously is linked to Twinkie, so. Okay, interesting.
Okay, so I'm going to save the time until after we finished round one and round two, so I got some time for that. We did that. Okay, so now it's EB's
turn.
So now
give one to to Whitney
give
EB.
Give one to EB.
Okay.
To EB and
so I figure because of the timely news of the unfortunate passing of Eddie Van Halen, I would try to use him because that's a genre that I don't necessarily listen to that often. And I was like, then I could flip it and try to connect him to a rapper, and I know, you know, Evie just listens to so much rap, especially current rap,
mm-hmm.
So I figured that would be good to try to link them. But if you hit the right target, this one actually could be super easy, and you just get there in a couple steps, but I just thought it was like an interesting connection to bring up these two artists, because they don't seem like they necessarily go together. So Eddie Van Halen and Method Man.
Eddie Van Halen and Method Man. Okay.
Starting the clock now.
All right. So let me think. Okay. So Van Halen was with Black Sabbath, and who else was in Black Sabbath? Ozzy Osbourne was in Black Sabbath. Alright, so Van Halen and Ozzy Osbourne are both in Black Sabbath. Wait, is it only musical that I'm doing this?
Yep.
Okay.
What do you mean? You were going to try to do like...
Well, because I was
like,
going
to
be like, well, because
Sharon,
Osbourne is on the show with Eve right now.
Oh my God. No, that don't count.
Okay,
Eddie Van Halen is just in Van Halen. The group Van Halen.
Right.
He's in the group Van Halen. Van Halen, sorry. What has Van Halen done? I know. Because I admittedly don't know that much Van Halen.
I'll give just a clue. I know I probably shouldn't help the cheater or whatever, but just think about think about with Eddie Van Halen, if he has, like, worked with any other artists that you know, like, you know, not thinking of the Method Man, but, like, has he done anything with anybody that you do know, like, as a guitarist?
Oh, okay. Okay, so, Van Halen, honestly, has worked with almost everybody, so this should not be hard. Hold on.
Who are some people that he worked with? Because I don't, and I might be able to help if you can say something like that, but I don't, I'm not that familiar with him. And I'm saying that to ED, if you.
I feel like he, no, that wasn't him. I was going to say Michael Jackson. That was not him. Do not judge
me. Yeah, it was. He did do something.
It was. So so Van Halen has worked with Michael Jackson. Does it count if I can't tell you? Oh, no. Yeah. Okay, Van Halen worked with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson worked with Heavy D. Heavy D worked with Mary J., and Mary J. worked with Method Man.
That's very nice. That was a nice way to get there. That was
Mary is like always be a part of my thing.
Right, so and I respect and appreciate that. I love how you could like tie it back to Mary. I'm usually that way with Prince.
Yeah,
but,
same. Yeah.
But my way, I thought if you were going to link it, you were going to get there quick because I figured you were going to say the Michael because, of course, like Eddie Van Halen, you know, usually people that are more, you know, R&B oriented are just going to think of Beat It.
Right.
So then with Michael, Michael had a couple songs with Biggie. And then Biggie had the What with Method Man. So I was going about it that way because originally I was going to say just Biggie and Van Halen. And I was like, oh, you just go there very quickly, though, because it's Van Halen, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, Biggie. So at least it was like, okay, well, if you go Method Man, then it seems a little further because it's like, I don't know, Wu-Tang and Van Halen? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
so
I was like, okay. Well, the only thing I could think of first was Black Sabbath and Ozzy Osbourne. So I was like, but who do I know the Ozzy's work with? And that's
they've like toured together and stuff, Van Halen and Black Sabbath. But yeah, Van Halen, it was really just, you know, like their other huge like celebrity member at one point was like David Lee Roth because he
was
a singer, which then became like Sammy Hagar like later on.
Which has
always confused
me. I just want to say that. It's always confused me that, you know, he was the lead singer, but.
Right, like the band is named after him.
Right,
band.
I was always like, wait, I don't understand. Yeah. Like, that's not how it works in R&B, but.
Right, yeah. So that was another interesting one.
Okay, that was a good one, though. That was actually
a very good round. That was a solid round.
Wow.
Like I said, I'm not going to reveal the time yet until the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do, we're going to get into round two of Musical Doc Game when we come back from break. So Will's ready. We're going to go to break. Celebrate Toni Braxton's birthday. Birthday appreciation.
And I can't
more on what we had before makes me feel so
so warm inside. Wanting you constantly, feeling so sorry that we had to say goodbye.
Tony Braxton, do you remember when? And back to you, Q.
More than a woman. Oof.
Wow. That's the one album of Tony's that I'm not as familiar with, but I'm learning that from everything I'm hearing that it's probably one of her best, and
yes.
I'm a little like, okay, I got to go back.
She's
always produced by the Jarvis Brothers and...
She's just phenomenal that it's like, you know, her first two albums obviously sold gazillion copies and people then just focus on those. But it's like her later albums like totally kept it up. It's just that not everybody was aware of that. You know, Libra's incredible, More Than a Woman's incredible.
My favorite.
I mean, I love the heat. And EB and I have had conversations that this new album is just fantastic. I love it. I listen to it often.
I'm still listening to Gotta Move On.
Mm-hmm. Oof, Gotta Move On. So amazing. So amazing.
It's so good. It's so good. No. Thank you, Tony.
Yes.
Thank you, Tony. Why are you calling me on the phone? Why are you not at home all the time?
He had to hit
him.
He
was doing so well.
I know, but because she's so good, but I have to. You say no for your friend.
He's kind of low, though. That's kind of.
Oh, I'm low. No, I'm trying to get as low as her.
McDonald's speakerphone. That was too low. That's how they be talking when they be asking.
That's how Tony and Tracy be sounding low.
Jesus Christ. Yo, Tracy has a real good alto range, like. I prefer
no,
her.
No, Tracy
voice.
Has
like,
an amazing, she's a
great,
strong alto.
Great
She's a strong alto. I think
Tony
can do, to me, Tony could probably do anything. Just like, I feel like her and Tamar, they can do
mm-hmm.
alto, they can do soprano.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Trina is such a great soprano. And I like Tawanda, I like her fashion choices. She looks nice, and
yo,
I enjoy.
Don't
I mean, I'm just saying.
I will say that's why I do believe. I will say that is why Tracy, unfortunately, and I feel for her. You know, did have to carry that, you know, hurt for so many years
yeah.
of being pushed aside, because I do believe that she knew and her sisters knew that she had more to offer vocally than
yeah.
to want.
And that, yeah, and that's it. When you
know
you have more to offer, but someone else is in the spot that you thought should have been yours because of whatever, you know, then you just heard about it and you hold on to that for a long time.
Like, but clearly Tony is, you know, the queen, and Tamar has an outstanding voice. So, yes, they're, like, the top two of them, and I believe that, of course, they all know that. But, yeah, I mean, Tracy and Trina do have beautiful voices. I mean,
I love them
do
so
bring
much.
A lot.
And, you know, I'm glad they all got successful. Like, I know Tracy was on, like, E1. Like, E1 is, like, real known for...
Yeah, E1 Entertainment.
...the years been given, black artists, specifically R&B singers, great contracts and great quality albums. I can go down the list. You know, Tracy had a really great
everybody
album.
Everybody is. I feel her like first, everybody's been with E1.
Yes, and Crash and Burn, her first album, it did well, and then she signed with another independent company. I think she had more ownership of her, because she's a songwriter too. She's, I think she wanted more ownership in that part. In her second album, definitely tops the first one, like her sophomore, that On Earth.
On Earth was a great album. It was a great album. I mean, even the title track was just amazing, but the whole album, if you're listening to it.
Yeah. On Earth, it reminded me of Renee Angela's I'll Be Good. The guitar. At first, I thought it was Shaka Khan. I thought it was that at first. The guitar lick was mine, but I was like, nah, it's Renee and Angela right here. It was just, they changed the bars up a little bit, but it's definitely I'll Be Good. If you listen to On Earth, it sounds like Renee and Angela's I'll Be Good.
Now that I'm playing that
great.
In my
it's
head.
A great song, though. And she's just floating on it. Like, you can tell that they're students of Tony. Like, it's a little bad, but I can still, like, recognize her tone as hers. And she has a good mix of Tony and Sade. Like, that's what I feel when I hear some of her songs. She's got a real good Sade vibe on her record. That's why I love it. I'm a big Sade fan.
Yeah.
And so,
that's something I love about them. They all.
The Braxton sisters.
The Braxtons. They all have great voices, but. And they blend very well, but they also have very distinct and individual styles and voices.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can tell who's who, and I feel like they could all probably imitate each other in a weird way. Well, maybe not all, but especially like, you know, some of them, they could imitate each other and sound just like the other person. But I do appreciate those Braxton sisters. So thank you, Evelyn. Thank you, Papa Cheater, for making this
Papa
all
Infidelity.
Possible. Papa Infidelity, because let me tell you something. And they got the son too. They got Mikey, so they got Mikey holding down the bass note.
Oh my god! Forgot about
they got
him.
They got Tony holding down the bass note. They got Tracy on alto. They got Tamar and Trina soprano. You know, and they can switch. And then they got Tawanda, which I said before, she wears very nice clothes, and her wigs are always on.
You can hear her whenever they blending together. Like, she's home.
Yes, I can hear her, but maybe that's the problem.
Oh, my God.
Why are you
sorry,
so
Tawanda.
Bad?
Oh,
you're so bad.
On Tony's birthday, or belated birthday. We can't be doing this. Oh, her belated
Somebody
birthday.
Said Tony don't even like them anyway, so.
Jesus. All right. Okay.
All right, that's
but
the
you're
game.
Right.
That's
I
the
mean,
game.
They're so unique. They're so unique because it's like Tony has that definite velvet quality that you really do just climb inside of her voice like a warm blanket. But, like, they can imitate her. I mean, obviously on their, like, reality show, they've always, like, made fun of each other and played with each other's voices and stuff. But there are, like, little unique, you know, twitches to each thing that it's like, well, they can't 100% sound like Tony. They could just mimic her.
They can
you
mimic
know?
That.
Same way
yeah.
with, like, they could sing like Tamar, but they can't produce the same quality for, like, Love and War, you know?
Right,
like none of them really could.
I don't even know how Tamar did that song.
Oh my god!
Honestly,
I still think that's like
It's crazy. No, I think it's something that Evelyn put into them. I don't know what it is. I'm gonna put Evelyn Braxton up there with Katherine Jackson and Maddie Moss Clark and the other Hollywood or the R&B or the even musical mothers, because like. For each of your children to be able to sing is great. For them to be able to blend, that is very great because everybody cannot do that. But then mm-hmm. for them to blend and still have their own distinctive sounds and a personality, because they all have, like, even Tawanda, they all have a personality. So, mm-hmm. and I love yeah. them all. I mean, the person's voice that I like the most is the personality that I like the least, which is so weird. But they all have that going on. But Trina Braxton, if you're listening, Trina, call me. Let's hang out. Like, I mean, well, after the pandemic, Trina, because, you know, I'm not hanging out with people right now. But let's hang out next year, Trina. Let's hang out in 2 years, probably.
No, the reason why, I think, because they have such distinct voices is because their mother, from watching some of the episodes of their reality show, whenever they were singing together, and she's directing them, like, everybody has their individual part, and they have to stay on that note. And so when you do mm-hmm. that, if you sing gospel music, you know, like, singing so many songs, like, if you stay in that key, like, your voice develops that. And I think that's what happens. Because, like, mm-hmm. If you can switch off, that's good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody can't do that note as good as well, but it's just like being in pocket. Like, if they haven't sung that song in, like, 20 years, and then mm-hmm. they go back into it, it's like a muscle memory. They're going to go right back into that blend because they've done
totally.
It so much. And when you're in that discipline, and they come from that old school. That's that James Brown old school. Like, that's how I was taught as a musician. Is you have to get it right. It's no, like, you understand, like, how intense it is. Like, when you play church music, it's intense, but when you come from, like, R&B, like, musicians and all that grew up in that 70s era where that was, like, you got to get it right the one take. And then, okay, if you do get it, but you got to start the song from the top. Like, if you, mm-hmm, if you stumble through it, if you forget the verse or if you forget your note, you start from the top, and that's how the Braxtons, they've all been, the Clark sisters, all of them have that
Clark
story.
Sisters,
because
Horner sisters, Jones girls.
Yeah,
they all do that.
It right the first time. It wasn't no, oh, we're going to see how it, no, because you want the presentation was always, like, made important. I think it's
yeah,
all
and I will say this.
Music, so.
I am from Lexington, South Carolina, which is a county and a city in South Carolina, but Evelyn Braxton's family is from Casey, which is the next little town mm-hmm. over, which is it's a town in our county, and my grandmother knows her sisters, and I've actually been to the airport a lot in Columbia, South Carolina with Evelyn Braxton. I feel like mm-hmm. every time I fly, she's flying, and I'm always looking at her like, well, where are you going? Like, why are you on Delta with me? Like, your daughter didn't get you a private flight? Like, what's going on? But, I remember my grandmother and her sisters talking about, and I forget what her maiden name is their name is, but her sisters could all sing, and they were all into the church, and they had a distinct sound. So I think that, like, carried down, or she passed that down to her daughters, and maybe her son. I don't know if her son sings.
No,
but
he was on their Christmas album. The Black
yes, Mikey was
album.
On the Christmas album. Mm-hmm. Yes,
and they
yes.
sung "Mary, Did You." The Mary song, and yeah. he has this great the Nat King Cole range is crazy. He sounds like Nat King Cole on that record.
Yeah, no, so it's like you passing stuff down to your children.
Yeah,
and, I mean, she's known for, I mean, not that Evelyn was like a Toni Braxton, but she could hold the note, obviously, because she had to teach them how to,
mm-hmm.
she had to teach them their part, so...
yeah.
I think they're all great, all of them. I think Mikey, Toni, Tracy, Trina,
Tamar.
I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, but if I'm forgetting, they probably don't matter.
Oh, I just got it. Oh, why you do that? That's not nice.
But I'm just saying.
But right, I mean, honoring Toni specifically,
yeah, honoring her birthday,
yes, we are
definitely
honoring Toni.
Yeah, she definitely. As much as you know, when I was at Universal, we had done the deal with Casablanca to revive that for Tommy to do all his signings, and he had Tamar signed at the time to do
right.
her first big solo spin, and I had loved the stuff that we were getting in, like the roughs from the studio. I was like loving it. I was like, oh, Tamar Braxton's like got it. But that went awry, and then
took her so long to get back to that. And I understand, like, having that, you know, anger inside that it's like, well, why is Tony, like, the hugest, you know, R&B artist? But I understood, like, as much as Tamar is immensely talented, it's like, but Tony does have that very unique quality. Like, I understand why when they saw them all, it's like, she just, like, her presence, she's so, like, just smooth and glamorous and beautiful and just everything about her. Like, you know, just the fact that she's so, like, tiny and demure, but she just has this larger-than-life presence because her voice is so, you know, powerful and velvety and all that. But, yeah, I mean, you got to give it up to all them individually for other stuff as well, because Tamar with that Love and War, I mean, I sing that at times when I just want to pretend that I can, like, sing it, and it's like you can't sing for, like, 2 days after. I'm like, I don't know.
No, you can't. Listen, and I'm going to say this. I know I'm giving Tawanda a hard time right now because I'm joking around, but they all do have these very distinct individual qualities, like you were saying. So I do give them all their things, even Tawanda, because for so long, like, even when they were the Braxtons and it was just the three of them, like, Tawanda's holding that bottom note, and then even after the Braxtons, once they got the show going, I mean, she had a great wardrobe, and
yes, man.
I'm sure she could cook spaghetti very well, you know.
I think there are three that have a an album. Tony is, you know, the main one that started it, and then Tamar and Tracy, those three. I feel like Tony represents that, like, that she can get to that lower register, but she can work her way to the high register, the contralto. She has that down, but, you know, that makes her distinct. But then Tamar has the soprano range, and then Tracy's in the alto range. And I feel like them three, I think the reason why those three pop the most music-wise is because they three have distinctive sounds, and they've always held down their notes, and so that just naturally came through when they were students of. And Tony, you can hear Tony, the influence of Tony through Tamar and Tracy, by the way. It's just Tamar's a soprano version of Tony. If Tony can get in that range, and Tracy has that solid tone of, like, an alto, like, she can hold down her note, and the way she floats over melody is incredible. Oh my God. All right, y'all. Round two. I'm sure y'all waiting on round two. Round two musical dot game. We starting this off with the first round we did Evie pick, and then Miss TLC. Now it's Whitney's turn to pick, and then I go right after her. So, Whitney, let me know when you want me to start the clock, and I'm fixing to pull it up. And we gonna get this thing right. So let me know
when
to start.
Wait, before I say it, can I help her or no?
Yeah.
No, Whitney's now giving two artists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Whitney's giving two artists to me and Q-Lynn.
All right.
Miss TLC have to team up and figure it out together.
Okay. So we're going to do Panic at the Disco.
Oh, wow.
And... Yeah. I know y'all wasn't ready from me to hear that one. Anyway, Panic at the Disco and Master P.
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. What the hell? Oh, my God.
Wow. Whitney. Well.
I started the clock, too. I need to take it off this app because the time is making me nervous. All right, let me take it off.
Give me body. Wow, Whitney, I'm impressed, and I'm also glad that I'm on your team, because... Ooh.
All right. I'm trying to think. Master P. Okay. Trying to think of samples. Producer. Oh, my God.
Trying to think. I know they've been out for quite a while, but I'm trying to just go backwards with their most recent stuff, Panic at the Disco. Like, they had... I know this past year, a couple years ago, they had, like, big stuff with High Hopes and My Made It.
That was so random because I'm trying to think of no songs are popping up right now.
It's random.
But even as her, even so as somebody
good.
On her team, I'm sitting here like,
I hate this is so, such a good one because I'm trying to think of a song of theirs.
Well, I know, like I said, they had their recent huge success with the Hey Look Ma Made and the High Hopes, but I know that, like, their older stuff was more, what was the songs that I used to love by them? Older stuff.
I'm trying to link together. I thought they had featured a rapper on there, and I'm trying to link it with Master P, but I can't think of the rapper's name. It's driving me crazy because I can't, because I have the picture. You know, I like how you visualize the person, but it's like a silhouette of the person. That's what my mind is on right now. Silhouette of the rapper. And I'm trying, so much pressure. I'm trying to think. Did they do a song with Jay-Z? But I don't know how to string Jay-Z with Master P, though. I'm trying to think.
I feel like you could string Jay-Z and Master P, but I don't know if they even did a song with Jay-Z.
Because I'm thinking about acts associated with Master P, like No Limit. And I was like, did Jay-Z ever do a song with No Limit? I'm trying to think. If it was a mixtape, but... I don't think me and
Ash
did anything with
it. Yeah. We come strapped and we
roll things. And then I'm trying to think of samples. Nothing's coming. Oh, my God. This is so good.
Away.
I hate this is so good because I'm trying to.
Yeah.
All right.
Hang on. Let's see.
Ooh, this is good because I'm drawing a lot of blanks because I'm trying to think of a rap.
Ooh,
I want to say Jay-Z,
Whitney coming with the zinger.
Yo, by accident too. When I tell y'all how this happened, y'all gonna be like, "Oh, that's so random." Like, don't think I was being real deep or something. Like, it was. I'll tell you later.
Perfectly fine.
I'm so glad you're on my team.
I'm just trying to actually even see.
Ooh.
I'm going, like, this is going to be, like, a lot of steps. I'm, like, trying to make this chain in my head, which is such a bizarre chain. But I feel like...
Well, Aretha talked about the chain of fools. Let's go.
hang on.
All right, let me concentrate. Let me stop.
Wow, Whitney. Wow.
This is...
Because I can't think of anything, so I'm just like...
I have a moment.
Because I don't know that much about Panic at the Disco, also.
I know a bunch of their songs, but I'm going more with, like, in my head right now, what I'm building is, like, the connection of the lead singer to, like, other pop singers,
right,
and then those
exactly.
pop singers to R&B, and then R&B to rap. That's what I'm trying to do mentally right now. There's just, like, one link that I'm trying to figure that if you go...
Ooh. Now I'm thinking of Taylor Swift.
Right, because Brendan and Taylor, and
yeah.
then... That was, like, where I mm-hmm. first was jumping to as well. And then I'm like, okay, hang on.
Trying to, oh, my God, this is really stumping me. Because it's, okay, this is a big stretch. I'm going to try to tie it together. Okay, do I have to name? I made up the game, but I don't know. Is it fair if I don't know the song, if I just name the artist to link it together that they did a song? And y'all can Google.
I think so,
y'all can Google if I'm correct or not, if they've done the song together, just to verify. Because I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I don't have no issue with that.
Okay, the lead singer of Panic, I think I got it. Okay. But you said Master P.
Right.
Okay. All right. I got one connection because I got Travis, what's his name? Travis McCoy. It's the dude, the light skinned
dude.
Mm-hmm.
Gym Class Heroes.
Travis Gym McCoy. Class Heroes, Travis McCoy, yeah.
Okay, he did a record with the what's his name? I don't know these boys' names. They're too young. I don't know their name. What's his face for Panic at Disco? Travis McCoy did a song. They did a song together, and Travis has done a song with, I want to try to tie it with Lil Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
With Tyga. No, Travis did a song with Tyga, who's done a song with Lil Wayne, because he's done the Cash Money, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was just randomly throwing shit together. I kind of thought this would get Cash Money and No Limit, but they didn't even like each other back then. I don't know why I'm doing that. But
I feel like you are on the right track. Cause I feel
oh, my
like
God. My brain is... I'm trying
Lil
to...
Lil Wayne did a song with one of those.
Okay. Got the guy from Panic at Disco did a record with Tyga, who done a record with Lil Wayne, and Lil Wayne has done... that's what I'm getting lost at, is with Lil Wayne. That's the hiccups. And I'm trying to think of songs that can tie it with Master P. Oh, my God. My brain is in overload because I'm trying to think because I don't know the song. I'm trying to think of the song and I'm trying to think of the rapper, and it's like, oh, my God, my brain's about to explode. Okay.
Oh, I got that.
I'm stuck on Lil Wayne. Okay. If I could figure it out, I'm going to try to connect it with Master P. Lil Wayne is my connection. I'm just trying to get there, and I'm at...
See, mine, while you think of that, I did connect mine, I just realized, but it's like
ooh,
so many
go
steps.
Ahead, go ahead, go
but
ahead.
It's like, so Panic at the Disco, yeah, Brendon Urie is the lead singer, and he's worked with Taylor Swift several times, and then I said Taylor Swift works with Kendrick Lamar, which surprised a lot of people, but he was on one of her songs, and then Kendrick Lamar, what was I doing? I was saying Kendrick Lamar has obviously been with Beyonce. With Freedom, and then Beyonce's been with Jay, doing like a ton of stuff with Jay. Jay's been with Maya, with their remix, and then Maya was with Silk. They had their remix of Moving On, and then Silk obviously goes to Master P. I mean, Silk and the brothers, they've done a million dollars.
Oh,
that's
nice.
So
okay.
It was a long chain.
Okay. No, but it was still a...
But that was
it connected
thing,
beautifully.
Though. Yeah.
Okay. I stopped the timer on that. We got to go to break real quick. And I'll do mine, and then we'll try to fit in the topic, and we'll be back, y'all. Celebrate Toni Braxton's birthday. We'll be back, y'all.
Yeah.
Magic word. Maybe I'ma call you later. And you
Midnight Tony Braxton. And we're back on the Soul Savage Show. Back to you, Q.
The Libra album is my favorite Toni Braxton album. I gotta say that because it's just so, I don't know, it's just so perfect, like everything about it. So
it's great. Shout out to Toni Braxton for that. It's a great album. It's solid. Y'all probably know the single on there, Please. I wasn't talking about playing it, but I was like, no, y'all know how we do on this show. We do album cuts only. Sometimes we play the hits, but we gotta get to the album cuts. Oh my god,
it's fantastic! It's fantastic.
You gonna have to get some bold ginger ale like Monica and
yeah, because I gotta listen. Tony go deep, and I can't go that deep. I just can't.
Yeah, that one came out. That one came out when I was at Universal, when Black Room was on Universal. I know there was all the drama with that album not being available because of Barry.
Barry,
holding back on literally everything. But yeah, it was interesting because I was at Jive and Blackground was there, and then I was at Universal and Blackground went there. And I was very surprised that Tony was doing the album through Blackground, but then I was glad that I was there when they were working the project because it was amazing. But then she just unfortunately got screwed over in the end that Blackground likes to, you know, hold back on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people got screwed over with that. I found out the real story about why Blackground's music is unavailable. It took me a while, but I found out that Barry Hankerson owed a gambling debt.
Mm-hmm.
And a woman that he dated, I think, actually owns everything. So he can't legally release it. Mm-hmm. So I've been mad at him for a long time, and I'm still going to be mad at him. But it's like it's not his decision.
He's done a lot of...
Controversial,
questionable things. So yeah,
right. So it's like, you know, but that's an album along with the Aaliyah stuff and Timbaland and Magoo and like all of that deserves to be streaming. And not that I don't want to get free music from people, but it at least should be available to the masses because people are missing out on great music.
Yeah.
Oh,
15-year anniversary.
Yes.
Yeah, 15-year
before
anniversary.
We get to round two. I gotta shout out Will. Will just made some changes to StudioWBuzz.com. Y'all check that out. He got a lot of cool stuff on there. I was just on there earlier during the break, and y'all need to check it out and go on there. While you listen to the show, you go on there and listen to the show live, and also download the IMG2 app. If you listen to this on the website, you can still get through there through soulsavage.com. I have a link there to take you straight to studio.wbuzz.com. So make sure y'all check that out and check out all the features and all the different radio personalities. There's a whole list of them on there of the different shows and channels on Studio WBuzz Global Radio Network. Airs 24/7. So y'all check out the app.
Globe.
And check out the, check out all that. Is this a little plug for Studio Buzz? But yeah, we'll finish the game off so we can get to talk a little bit about this topic. We only got 5 minutes left, but we can work all this in there. But round two, I think I got mine ready and locked and loaded. I'm about to start the clock now. I'm starting it now. Okay, I'm throwing y'all a snowball because we run out of time, and I feel like both of y'all put your heads together. I feel like y'all can connect this. It's pretty easy. Let me just throw it out there. Carlos Santana and Beyonce.
Okay, so I got it really easy. Carlos Santana and Mary J. Blige and Big Boi worked together on a song called My Man in, I think, 2008. And Mary J. Blige and Beyonce obviously have Jay-Z in common, but they also did Love a Woman in 2011, I think, from My Life, too.
Dang, you gave him something with Mary, and there you go.
I know Mary's always my common denominator. She's my common denominator.
I was thinking he was
going to
go with Wyclef Jean. That's where I thought he was going with it.
No,
first.
I could have went with the Wyclef Jean, or I could have went with the Maria.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have. I mean,
oh,
it's just,
yeah, he could have went Maria easy. Maria for that, and then went Wyclef to Mary, and
way
then Mary.
Too easy.
Right. I mean,
I
but Mary's like.
Snowball.
anything with Mary, I'm like, that's my music teacher, so it's like I can connect dots. Like, I know about Rod Stewart and Santana and Swinky Clark and Method Man because of Mary. It's like I know different genres, mm-hmm. and like that's just that's my connector.
Okay, so we got a tie.
Nice.
The first round, it was 3 minutes and 23 seconds for us, and then EB and Whitney's time, the first round, was 3 minutes and 40, it was pretty close, 46 seconds, because I wrote it down.
Yeah, that first
and
one was good.
Second round, we not even going to name it, because y'all, you freaking answered this. Let me pull this freaking clock back up. 53 seconds. Are you kidding me? So we won the first round. Then clearly, Snowball, you know, was an easy one. It was too easy, because it was 53 seconds, 53.78, if we want to be exact. 53 seconds that he answered in. So we won the first round. Evie and Whitney won the second round. So we got
okay.
to do a tie
break. That was a good challenge. But
good
I want to know, I just want to know from Whitney what she was mm-hmm. thinking of with the Panic at the Disco Master P. What was your connection to it?
Mm, yes.
So let me just tell y'all.
It's about to be so easy.
mine was all through samples. So the common denominator here for Panic at the Disco and Master P is actually Kanye West. You know, Kanye between every single sample. So here's the trail. Death of a Bachelor, which is by Panic at the Disco, sampled a song called Getting It In, which featured Kanye West. And it was like a Jadakiss features Kanye West. Kanye West had Fourth Dimension, which was on the album Kids See Ghosts, which was with Kanye and Kid Cudi. Kanye sampled Make 'Em Say by Master P on that album. So it was all just straight samples.
I definitely wouldn't have got that because I don't even listen to Kid Cudi. So I don't
know.
All I know is Day and Night. He's a great
actor. Documentary, I forget the name of it. And so I was like, oh, let me see, like, who I could think of that I used to listen to back in the day, if they're connected, like, to Master P, because I had just watched it. And, yeah, you know, like I said, I had my moments. I had my moments.
You definitely had them. Wow.
Yeah, I had a word for that
I would have never gotten that. I'm just gonna
lie. I was trying to reduce it.
Connection? I like that. That was a dope, like...
I mean, but it was seven steps, and I was like, damn,
but
can
still,
I get it? Like,
but, I mean, but
yeah.
still, it was you connected.
Yeah.
Like, I could not move past
like,
Panic at the Disco because I don't know their music that much.
Yeah, I just... Okay. They actually do have an interesting discography, but I just immediately, when I think of Brendan, I think of Taylor now because they've had so much success recently with their most recent projects. They've, like, been on each other's stuff, but... Okay, so... Yes, Q-Lin. I love the game, and we tied it up.
I think we could do. Do you think we should leave it a tie, a draw, or
leave it a draw? There'll be another time in the future we can play.
Yes, there'll be another time.
We'll try.
That's right. All right,
draw. Thank y'all for tuning to Soul Savage Radio every Thursday, 4-6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 7-9 Eastern Standard Time, and also 6-8 to all my Midwest folks out there, Central Time, Chicago, Oklahoma. Texas.
Yeah.
Everywhere. St. Louis. Listen, we out here. But yeah, so Savage, thank you so much to our special guest, music industry veteran, Miss TLC. Thank you so much for joining the
thank
show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to do a savvy heathen talk real quick. Is there anything you want to say to the folks before we go?
Stay home and wear a mask.
Right? Stay home.
That's real.
Yeah, everybody needs to stay home. I don't feel like vacation is still awkward. Like I said, seeing people on vacation, I don't know how to feel about it because COVID's still out here. Clearly, the orange mongoose in charge has definitely taken his way. We're going to get to that next week, though. We'll talk about that in the rage. But, yeah, my savvy heathen talk is shout-outs to almost forgot we're going to be playing a Blackstreet song. When we get ready to end the show, shout out to Teddy Riley. It's his birthday today. Legendary producer, songwriter, mostly known for having
technical difficulties.
Internet, the AOL, he's having the greatest AOL setup of 2020. Yes. Shout out to Teddy Riley. But y'all got to have him talk so we can wrap up.
I do, real quick. I just want to say, first thing early Monday morning, I'm going to pack my chair.
It's going to be something.
So first thing early Monday morning, wear your mask. Don't go out. Let's do that. Let's do that first thing early Monday morning. Let's let the disease pass, and then after the virus is done, then we can be resuming our regular lives. But until then, we should just stop, because obviously continuing our regular lives, even at a reduced capacity, is still hindering us to suffer this virus. So everybody, just first thing early Monday morning, wear your mask and stay at home if you don't have to go out.
And wash your hands and quit and cover your mouth.
It's so weird
to me. And
sneeze. Please,
we don't need the residuals from anything.
Oh, God.
You're
right.
And also, I got another one that just randomly popped up. Shout out to Ms. TLC. My savvy talk is, listen, your vocal, okay. Look, we ain't, I forgot about the doctor of Faith Evans
vocal,
okay? We not going to bypass
still,
that, okay?
He and I do not live that far from each other, and I am still hopeful that we will see each other soon, even though it seems like New York is shutting back down. Like, I'm still like, listen, we can make it socially distanced and great, but I enjoy talking to her. I enjoy hanging with her, but she doesn't, like, when she sings, I really like it. So,
yeah, we need to do more, like, singing, karaoke. We always say we just need to, like,
and
run
I just
through
bought a
our own
karaoke
little
machine.
Shows. Yeah.
I just bought a karaoke
and
machine
I can,
like, so. Q-Lin, you can get here.
But, yeah, Q-Lin was funny.
Something.
Yeah, Q-Lin was funny because she was like, okay, when I was, like, posting my little tribute to Faith Evans.
I was like, you know how hard it is to sing a Faith Evans song? People have tried.
Because nobody Faith Evans still can't even sing them same
folks.
Oh,
baby. I'm still laughing at TV with the whole
Faith Evans vocals.
It's not.
I don't know how many concerts of hers. And she had a bad night since I've been watching. So
no, she don't ever have a bad night. But
EB has to do a recording of, like, himself singing a duet between Tony and Faith. Tony and Faith.
We are out, y'all. Happy birthday to Kelly Riley. Hit y'all with this Blackstreet joint, okay? Another
Ready.
Couple.
Happy birthday, Renee. Happy birthday.
What y'all know about this?
Tony.
Album cut. We out, y'all. So
mm-hmm.
Savage Radio. Let's go, Will.
Hey, never gonna let you go. The
joint album cut. We out, y'all.
You're staying in my life forevermore.
And you've been listening to the Soul Savage Show right here on Studio W The Buzz, your global radio network. And coming up, you know,